Turning now to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 5 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. This is about the bondage of the life of unbelief and the freedom that comes with belief in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. These words of Isaiah are addressed to a society in rebellion against God. They are addressed to people who are very scornful about God and faith in God. And Isaiah has been predicting a coming catastrophe, and this is their response to it. Verse 19, woe unto them that say, let him make speed, let God make speed, let him get on with it, and hasten his work that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Oh yes, they said, well, we'll wait until it happens. Let's just see it. Of course, the amazing thing is the storm clouds were gathering even as they flung these scornful words at the prophet Isaiah. And Sennacherib of Assyria was making ready to come, and 701 BC was approaching when the land would be terribly invaded and her walled cities would fall and there would be terrible destruction and lamentation. But no, they scorned everything that Isaiah said. But here are these words, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity. And it's a fascinating illustration. First of all, though, that little word, woe. We may think that it is just a sort of announcement of misery and judgment and terror, that Isaiah makes this declaration over the people, woe to you. But actually, the original in the Hebrew is an exclamation or expression of pain and anguish. You have to say it differently. Woe, says Isaiah. This almost overwhelms me to say it. What sadness, what tragedy, what is going to happen to you? And he reflects the very heart of God. There must be a judgment. Things have gone to such a pitch. The sin of the people and their rejection of God is so great. But the woe is not just a sort of denouncing word. It is an exclamation of very great sorrow and pity at the same time, an awareness of what must come. It's a very glimpse of the heart of God. Now, there are a number of woes in this chapter, and this is the third of a series of six. Woe unto this kind of person, woe unto that kind of person, and this is the third of the series. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity. Now, the illustration is astonishing. It is of a very heavy cart being dragged along, but not by horses, oxen, or mules. This cart is being dragged along by men, by all kinds of men, the people of that society, by priests even, by intellectuals and teachers, by soldiers and princes, by farmers and common people. They're all represented here. And instead of animals, the people, the society of the day, is with certain ropes dragging a tremendously heavy cart. That's the picture. What is this cart? What is Isaiah illustrating? Woe unto them that draw iniquity. Well, in this cart is iniquity. That is the Hebrew word for twistedness, perversions, all kinds of perversions. And also in this cart is sin. They draw, or they drag, iniquity, and they drag sin. Sin is simply offences against God. So there's two terms for sin used. Perversion, twistedness, and offences against God, violations of his law, one after another. And these are piled up in this great cart, and it's being dragged along. But the ropes are described. The terms used for ropes are very interesting. The cords, it's a word which means twisted yarns. So it's just the kind of rope we might see today. Cords of vanity and sin with a cart rope, particularly heavy version of twisted rope. But the cords are of vanity. The rope is futility. So what is it that's dragging this great cart? Well, it is futility. Why would we drag a cart? Why would men, women, society drag something that was heavy and undesirable? Well, their attachment to this cart, the ropes that they're hanging onto, which they're dragging the cart, are themselves making a contribution in this illustration. Futility is dragging the cart. People actually are bound by futility, and that's why they do it. That's why they drag this cart. It's an astonishing illustration. Here is a life away from God. Here is a life lived in defiance of him. Here is a life which says either there is no God, or I don't want to believe in him. I don't want a spiritual life. I don't want anything like that. I just want material things, material fame, material fortune. I just want things here. That's all. I don't want to honour him, praise him, show gratitude to him, seek him, find him. I don't want anything to do with God. I just want the here and now. Now, the result, the life that results from that attitude, is a life which very often is painful and heavy and hard, and it violates the conscience, and it doesn't answer the big questions of life. Why am I here? Is there an afterlife? So what makes us, with all the disappointments and the trivial nature of life without God, what keeps us dragging this cart uphill, down dale, all the way into old age and ultimate death? Well, it is futility. That's what we want, just futility. It's in us somehow, and this is what I want to try to explain this evening. We drag this cart of a unbelieving life with these ropes of futility, and they bind us, they fasten us to sin, and they fasten us to an unbelieving lifestyle, and they keep us struggling and dragging this lifestyle along. Now, the general opinion today is that God, religion, faith in him is an encumbrance. It's a burden. It's something you can do without. This illustration is saying the opposite. No, it's rejection of God which brings you a burden. It's this cart of just a material life, constantly offending him, ignoring him, snubbing him. This is the burdensome life, and it's to be set free from that, which is the great blessing that is available from God. Well, life is a journey, and we're harnessed to this cart, as it were, this godless life. What are the ropes? Let me describe four possible ropes that keep us bound to this cart, that keep us pulling and persevering with a life in which God does not figure, in which he plays no part as far as we're concerned. Well, one of the ropes, extraordinarily, is pure futility. Cords, ropes of vanity, futility. This is what it means. We have an extraordinary preference for lightness, nothingness, triviality, emptiness, superficiality. That's us. And that's true of so many people. True of us, maybe, before we came to Christ, before we were converted. Just keep it light, keep it superficial. Just let me joke my way through life. Well, jokes are good, let's hope, anyway. And there are many things you can enjoy in life. But no, we just want the trivial, the jokey, the superficial. This man's talking about religion. He's talking about God. I won't go near that. That's too heavy, too deep. Just keep it light. Keep it trivial. Let me just drift. Leave me alone. Don't bother me with that kind of talk, that kind of thing. I don't want to think. I don't want to be serious. Let me just run along flippantly. There's no meaning of life for me, no worship, no walk with God, no experience. Just keep it light, light as a feather, superficial. And that is one of the ropes that keeps us attached to a life just for self, for material things, no worship for God, no seeking Him, no walk with Him. And oh, there must be millions of people, as many of us once were, still connected to this godless life just by this urge to be lightweight, flippant, never thinking, never considering. Well, let me challenge you, friends, is that you? Are you throwing away life and meaning and eternity because something inside you just says, keep it light, keep it on the surface? I don't want to think. I just want to get drunk, joke, just trip along, nothing too thoughtful or serious for me. That's a terrible rope to be attached to, pulling so hard through life that your fingers and your hands become welded to it and you can't let it go, and it's you, a lightweight, a superficial person. Mr. or Mrs. No-think, Bunyan would have said so many years ago. What a tragedy to throw away your life with the rope of vanity, futility, lightness, light as air, nothingness. Oh, let nobody fall into that. That's a terrible rope with which to hold on to a purely material life. And then here's another rope. It is the rope of futility in this way. It's a rope of material gain. Gain, possessions, wealth, fame, whatever. Just pleasure for the sake of it. There are many legitimate pleasures in life. But pleasures just for their own sake. This is life for me. That's what I want. Material gain and so on. It just so happens, I read a brochure this week for Eltham Palace. I don't know whether anyone's been there. I haven't been there, but in the brochure, if you like Art Deco, it looks a very beautiful place, I must say, and not very far away. Well, it was built by two members of the Courtauld family, the Rayon, the Fabric family, fabulously wealthy between the wars. And one couple in the Courtauld family decided they wanted this incredible home, so they restored a medieval hall, which had been where Henry VIII had been brought up, and then they had architects in to design this fantastic Art Deco place, and various artists and sculptors and painters came from all over the place and decorated it and so on. And you know when they built this place? I built it in 1936. This was their dream home. In 1936, when anybody with any sense knew that there was a war looming and all the rest of it, they decided to build this incredible dream home. They were only in it 5 minutes, and of course there were bombs dropping not so very far away, so they skedaddled and went somewhere else. And that was it. It was all over. The dream was finished. It passed into the hands of the army for about 40, 50 years. I don't know what sort of a mess they made of it, but now it's been restored and it's there as a museum. And I'm not criticizing it as such. It probably is a very beautiful place to see. But when you think of the people who built it and the incredible money that was spent on it, material things, what a little parable of life almost, can last so short a time. Life is short. You invest everything, all your taste and your power of design and your dreams and your hopes into something that's gone in no time. It isn't yours anymore. It's all over. The dream fades. It's tarnished. And yet that's what holds us on to this rope of a life without God. Oh, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to have possessions. I'm going to get what I what I want. I'm going to have great experiences. I'm going to be famous, whatever it is. And as soon as you begin to get anything you want, you soon grow used to it. You get tired of it. Chuck it in the cart. You're after something else. There's got to be a new target, a new ambition, a new aim. One thing after another. Life is going to be exhausting, tiring, and expensive, because nothing will please you for long. One thing has to lead to something else. And so is your life. Your cart fills up not only with sin and disrespect to God and indifference to Him, but it fills up with all the rubbish of your life. Things that once pleased you so much, now they're rejected. And this rope also gets welded to your hands, gets so attached to you. You must pull this cart, because you're always going to get something which is going to make you happy, something which is going to please you. Why, you must know the old story of the sailing vessel that went out about 150 years ago to dig for gold, Spanish gold, on a remote Pacific island. And when the vessel got to the island, well, it was shipwrecked on the island. And they just about got all the equipment ashore and all the grain to sow and various things like that. But those people were so absorbed by finding the treasure, and they dug here and they dug there, and they spent so much time doing that they didn't sow any seed and they didn't sow any grain. So what happened? They starved, of course. They ran out of food and they starved. And that's this material life. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to have things and wealth and fortune and so on. And all the time you're not sowing what really matters, a life with God, His pardoning love, new life, union with Him, spiritual experience and eternal life. But this materialism rope keeps you so attached to that cart. Things on earth can never satisfy. Man has a soul of vast desires and burns within with restless fires, and nothing can satisfy except union with God and a walk with Christ and knowledge of eternal and divine things. One object must replace another. Ropes of infatuation with this world. Don't lose your soul by being trivial. And don't use your soul by being materialistic and just crazy for the things of the here and now. And here's a third rope. It is lies about religion, lies about faith in God, false ideas about true religion. In Isaiah's time, the great problem was idolatry. The worship of many gods, numerous gods, making idols and worshipping them instead of the true and living God. That was the fashionable thing. But these gods, these idols, they were all gods that people had invented. And when people invent their own gods, they invent gods that let them do as they like. These idol gods had no moral standards. These idol gods made no demands on your character or your behavior. And people chose to believe in these things. And this is a rope that pulls the cart of sin so that you don't turn to the true God for forgiveness and for life. They believed in idols. Pay the idols something, make some little appeasement, wasn't very expensive. Make a statue and make appeasement, and the superstition was then the idol would give you good fortune, or at least he wouldn't introduce a tragedy in your life. But that idol didn't represent a personal God you could know and relate to and walk with. And as I said, the idol would let you do whatever you liked and commit any sin you liked. You wrote your own faith. Well, there are similar phony religions, lies about religion and God today. I was mentioning one only very recently, universalism. How many people hear this lie of universalism, and therefore God has no challenge for them, and they continue living their own life away from him. And the lie of universalism is, if there's a God, then he'll be favourable to everyone, and everyone will go to heaven, whatever their view of him, however they've lived. It's a lie. God will judge us for our rejection of him, and our unbelief, our spurning him, and our breaking of his laws. He will judge us. But that lie keeps people pulling the rope. That cart is a life for me, myself. I will decide everything. I will do whatever I want to do. How am I going to keep pulling this cart when my conscience tells me it's wrong? Oh, this kind of a lie. God doesn't mind. Everybody's going to heaven in the end. Don't listen to that talk about the need of a saviour and his forgiving love. So lies or false ideas about religion, these prevent people from letting go of that rope, cutting it off, and seeking God and his pardoning love. Then there's another, a fourth rope we've just got time to mention, and it's this. It's the rope of derision. And it works in this way. Well, here I am. I'm living life. From time to time, my conscience troubles me. From time to time, my instincts tell me that there is a creator and there must be a God and there must be an afterlife. And maybe I should seek him and pray to him and praise him. Maybe I should do those things. And then someone comes along and says, "Ha! You believe in that? What about evolution? That disproves any business about God. What about this? What about that? What about these so-called flaws in the Bible?" And you say to yourself, "Oh yes, yes, well I'll clutch on to them." Yes, of course, faith in God is discredited. Religion is discredited. It's been disproved. It's a nonsense. There's flaws and faults all over it. I will clutch on to these things, and I will join the chorus of derision and scorn against God. Ah, now I can pull my own cart just how I want to. I live the life I want to live and do whatever I want to do and sin against this mythical God. I'll join the chorus of derision. That rope of derision will keep your conscience at bay. It'll keep your instincts quiet. It'll keep you just toiling on through life, pulling this cart of sin and unbelief and rejection of God uphill and down dale until your dying day. Feed your cynicism. That's even here in this passage, down in verse 20. "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that change round all the values that God has put within the human heart so that they can hate him and we justify ourselves," and it all keeps the cart in motion. What is this cart? It's my life. It's what I live for. It's my tastes and my desires and my behaviour. It's my conduct. All my lies are in that cart. All my selfishness is in that cart. All my pride is there. Every wrong thing I've ever done against the Lord of glory. Every occasion when I've disregarded him and insulted him. That cart is full of dung. There's a stench around that cart. And that's my life. And that's what I'm pulling with these various ropes keeping me on the go. My deeds, my ugly things. There's no Bible in that cart. If I haven't come to Christ, there's no Bible there. It's a godless life I'm living. I've no need of that. There's no hymn book in that cart. I'm hardly going to sing praise to God. I don't understand him. I've never tasted him or known him. There's no title deed showing that I've a right to a place in heaven in that cart. It's just a heap of my godless, selfish, self-centered, trivial life. That's all that's in that cart. I may have painted it on the outside, tried to make it look better, but that's all it is, a life away from God. And here are the four ropes. Triviality. Keep it light. Don't talk about these things. Don't worry about these things. Possessions. That's another rope. Be satisfied with what I can have and what I can be in this present world. And there's another rope, all the lies about God. And another rope, the complaints and the derision. I'll join the chorus of those. Somebody tells me, oh, there's contradictions in the Bible. Yes, I'll say, it's another thing. I can't believe in God, there's contradictions in the Bible. But look, we can solve all those contradictions, as you call them. These are just foolish observations. You raise them, we'll explain. Or don't explain them. I don't want them explained. I don't want it to be shown that these so-called discrepancies are nonsense. I want them. Keeps me with the material life. Keeps me dragging this useless cart. So the cart keeps moving. And soon you'll be too old to pull it anymore, and too frail. The day will come for all of us, too frail, too sick to pull it. And that's what you're going to take into eternity. That's what you've got to give account for. And the foolish ideas that kept you pulling it all your life. Oh, friends, look at the illustrations of Isaiah, verse 21. Just a second with this. It isn't really on the subject, but listen to this. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Do you know what that means? Woe unto those people who mark their own exam papers and who think that when you stand before God in the last day to give an account of your life, he will say to you, well, what do you think? How well do you think you've done? And you'll be able to reply, I've done very well. And he'll let you into heaven. Well, he won't. Woe unto them who think they can judge their own performance, and God won't judge their performance. That's verse 21. Woe unto them that say, I am wise, I know best, my life is okay, and I'm prudent in my own sight. What delusion, dear friends. What a terrible position to be in, marking your own life or your own exams. And verse 22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Why, if all that can be said about you when you finish this life, the only value that can be ascribed to you is how you mixed drinks. What a tragedy. Do you see the point Isaiah is making? Now, I don't know about these things, but there was apparently a famous fashion designer who died in this last week. It sounded very tragic. He took his life at the age of 40. My eye fell on an obituary, and it was full of flattery. This man, apparently, according to this obituary, was a genius. He was brilliant. He contributed so much. He was a wonderful fellow, and there were some fantastic anecdotes. And then it so happens that I saw another obituary, and this said just about the opposite. It said he was foul-mouthed, he was erratic, he designed impossible to wear things. I'm not saying this, I know nothing about this subject. And he worked for a phony industry. I thought, well, there you are. There are two very different points of view. He was a genius. He was a cad. And you take your choice. Which one is right? Well, dear friends, you may think you've lived a good life. You may think you're a great one. You may think you're deserving of everything. But when you come to give account to God, you may find God's obituary reads very differently. You've got to cut those ropes that hold you to this cart of godlessness. Live as you like. Live for yourself. Commit every kind of sin. And you've got to seek the pardoning love of the Lord. That's vital. Just think of this. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, equal with him, the Father, equally God. He came from heaven to earth. And for all those who will be saved, he took their cart of sin and he took it through hell for them. When he suffered and died on Calvary's cross, all the terrible, terrible weight of the punishment of sin was borne by him. It's incomprehensible. It's beyond speech to describe. But God, in his mercy and love, by arrangement with Jesus Christ, the Son, equally God, put upon him all our sin, if we trust in him, and all our eternal punishment, and he took it for us, and thereby he purchased the right to forgive us, and to come to our lives and change us, and pour in spiritual life, and give us new lives, and a place in eternal glory. And that's what we need to do. Drop those foolish ropes of lightness or materialism and seek Jesus Christ and his mercy, the Saviour who died for sinners, who came to purchase salvation for us. And we need to repent of all our past life and our sin and yield our lives to his direction. Why, this is wonderful liberty, the freedom of the Christian. When I come to Christ and I'm converted, I am free from condemnation. I will not be condemned at the end of life's journey. Christ has taken my sin and guilt away. I deserve punishment, but I will be set free. The first and the greatest freedom, free from condemnation, free from death. When the moment of death comes, my soul will be conducted through it into the glorious paradise of Christ. I'm free from so much sin even now, because if I come to Christ and he works in my life, it's no longer inevitable that I shall sin away my years. I shall have the help of God to lead a better life. I'll have new desires and a new nature. What freedom it is not to be dictated to by sin every day of my life, not to be ruled by pride and all these other things. So many freedoms. Why, my life will be under the superintendency of my Saviour. No longer will I be chained to inevitable misfortunes, misjudgments, foolish things. I'll have the help and the guidance of God. No longer will I be alone in this world as far as God is concerned. Christ will be with me. His smile will be with me. He will help me and strengthen me in all my need. This is freedom. This is freedom, dear friends, to understand life, to know where you're going, to have the blessing of Christ, and not to be under the tyranny and the rule of sin, dragging that foul cart all the way to the end of life. This is the message of salvation in the Bible. Mercy, pardon, life, eternal life is ours in Christ, who suffered and died for needy sinners. These are wonderful, amazing things. We need him. Come to him. Determine, even now, you will not be ruled by lightness and the frivolous and the trivial, a nothing person anymore. Come to Jesus Christ and get depth in your soul and your being and understanding and strength and life. No longer will you be ruled by lies about God. Come and find him and know him and walk with him. No longer will you be ruled by materialism, least of all derision and scorn against him. come to Jesus Christ and find him and yield to him, and you will know wonderful freedoms in his service. Let's pray together. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, look upon us, we pray. Cut those ropes for us. O Lord, we pray that we may know life, all of us, that we may have Christ, that we may yield to him in repentance and in faith, trusting him. Lord, help us and work in our hearts. We ask it in his name, for his sake. Amen.